I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fires down that left sideline, looking for Cooper. One-handed grab, and with the cast arm to boot.
First time in a long time that I've actually felt joy, you know, from winning this game. Kind of a different place to Buffalo compared to some of the other places I've been to. It's the tight-knit group. It truly shows up on the field. It truly does.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown.
It's been a long time coming all season. I've been just grinding, working hard, waiting for my moment, understanding that the time will come at some point. In a big game like this, what better time to do it?
Fakes the throw. Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me? Has time, rolls to his right to buy more, heaves it down the field, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Terrell Bernard. Game, set, match.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Nine and no, am I right? The Bills end the Kansas City Chiefs' undefeated season. They don't end the season. They end their undefeated streak in the season. They give them their first loss of the season. But this is about the Buffalo Bills. It's nice to do that, no doubt about it. But this win was about the Buffalo Bills getting to 9-2 for the first time in 32 years. Pretty amazing. Considering I was told by many this was a step back year for the Bills. This was supposed to be a year where the Bills were resetting a little bit. GM called it a transition year. He didn't say resetting, rebuilding. A lot of people did. Was a year that they were not supposed to be here. And yes, I get it. AFC East, not good. The Kansas City Chiefs are pretty good. They're undefeated. The Bills just beat them. They're 9-2. First time since 1992. 30-21. The Buffalo Bills are in a Super Bowl contention spot once again. It's November 18th. They have a bye week. They will head to December. Their next game is December 1st. They will head to December on a stretch run looking to compete for a Super Bowl. We're here to talk about it and the day that was inside Highmark Stadium yesterday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Good morning, Bills Mafia. Good morning, everybody. Sal Capaccio here with you. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Of course, always bringing you a Buffalo Football Monday, and in this case, of course, a Victory Monday. I have my Victory Monday shirt on, and you can see that because we are live on video. As always, on a Monday, all you got to do is go to the WGR Facebook page. Facebook.com/WGR550 is the address. It is the Monday reaction show. And I expect a lot of reaction out of you today. I want it. I need it. I'm not here next Monday. It's a bye week. I'll be gone. I'll be on vacation. Taking a little downtime. Need it. After that, I mean, I need a couple of weeks after that game, I think, yesterday. But I won't be here next Monday. So it's your chance today to get in, to cover your butt for the next couple of weeks if you want to call, all right? 803-0550, I hope you do. 803-0550 is the number to call. You want to get involved in the program. As I always say, no guests, no interviews on a Monday, just you and me. You have the floor when you call. You can give a comment, question, opinion, whatever it is about the Buffalo Bills, the game yesterday, in general, the NFL, whatever you need to. The floor is yours when you give a call at 803-0550 today. And boy, we have a lot to get to today. And of course, our regular Monday features near the end of the show. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy, our late hour look ahead to the next game, which isn't for a couple weeks. We'll do all of that on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football victory Monday. Where to start with this game? I'm going to just give you a general, something in general I want to start with and say. I said this on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe, but, and I tweeted it, at Sal Sports, by the way, on Twitter, at Sal Sports on Blue Sky Now, at Sal Sports on YouTube, on Instagram, everywhere you go. But I wrote this, and I just want to kind of reiterate the point. I'm a very, very lucky person that I get to do what I love to do. A lot of people in life don't get to do what they love to do. I do. I love my job. I especially love, of course, I love being on here with you, but I mean, on Sundays, being on the field in an NFL stadium, somebody who grew up around football my whole life, played football, coached football, to be like in that environment, it's just, it's in my DNA. I love it so much. And for someone who grew up in Buffalo, went to Bills games at then Rich Stadium growing up, was there for many great moments during the Super Bowl years, also many tough moments over the years. To be a part of the stands and the fan base, like, it's just, it's me. I'm with you, right? That's what I do here. I'm part of you. And the professional part of the job is always something I'm doing on a Sunday or Monday or Thursday, I guess. And watching the game and understanding, you know, what to bring you, the listeners. But getting wrapped up in the emotion of the stadium is hard not to do. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you grew up here, you grew up somewhere else, you come here and, you know, you didn't grow up a fan of the team or whatever. Doesn't matter. It is hard not to get wrapped up in the emotion of the stadium sometimes. I love being on an NFL field every Sunday. It's amazing. Every national anthem, if you watch me, if you see a game, every national anthem that's played before the game, you see me. I do a 360. I look around, I go left, I go right. And I just think to myself, I can't believe, like, this is my life. It's crazy. It's awesome to be there. And I take stock in what I see around the stadium, how many fans, colors they're wearing, things like that. But there are certain times, on top of that, that it is truly, truly special to be that close and a part of the fans, and especially this fan base, and the stadium atmosphere, and near the sidelines, and the team atmosphere. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm sure it came through on your television. I'm sure a lot of you were there. That Josh Allen run was one of those special moments last night. It was amazing. The crescendo of the crowd as he crossed the first down marker just to get it. And then as he got closer to the end zone, then people realized it's not just a first down. He might score. And then when he scored, this is what sports are about. It was an awesome feeling. And to be a part of it and to experience that with all of you in a game like this against that team, truly remarkable. And that player, him, Josh Allen, just to be able to have a front row seat to him is something special in its own right. Wake up this morning, I checked the NFL MVP odds. Josh is leading, and he should be. I mean, he's arguably the best player in the league, and I definitely think he should be considered the most valuable player in the league right now. I mean, that's a different discussion and argument, but he's special. And that was a special play. The same kind of thing happened at the end of the game on Terrell Bernard's interception. I'm on the other side. I'm on the left of the sidelines, I guess, the team, on Josh's run right near the goal line. Then I'm on the right, and it's coming towards me on Terrell's interception. What an athletic play Terrell Bernard made. And if you go and watch, there's some great video, the field-level video. I watched one from Jenna Cottrell of Rochester. She was her video that she had posted. There's a few others. While the ball's in the air, there's a lull in the crowd, the final pass that Patrick Mahomes threw. And you could hear the crowd like get really kind of silent. And then as soon as Bernard intercepted it, the place erupted again. And no one left. And I have video on my Twitter at Sal Sports of the stands after the game with no one leaving. Like I often post on away games. I did it for the home games. Did it for the home game this time. Amazing. So to me, that was just a, this is why we do it. this is why we get invested, man. Like I said years ago on this program, and it rings true today. And I used to, and I said this a couple times when the Bills started to get good, really good, but it still carries through. Don't if you're going to hear today, you're going to hear fans, you're going to hear especially Kansas City fans, other fans around the league, even your own friends maybe who are Bills fans, may say to you, it's just a regular season game, why are you so excited? It's a bunch of baloney, man. Because you're a fan of a team. This is what being a sports fan is all about. And what I've said in the past, I'm going to say it again. Don't ever let somebody make you feel bad about something that makes you feel good. You want to feel, you should feel great today if you're a Bills fan. Great. You're going into the bye week after beating that team in your house in a great football game to end their undefeated season. Heck yeah, you better feel good. You should feel good. Don't ever let anybody tell you you shouldn't. That's what's, but it's what being a fan is, man. Being a fan comes with a lot of downs that we've talked about here. We come out on that Monday Extra Point Show. It hasn't happened in, you know, 7 weeks. And talk about the things they did wrong and where they need to improve and how much it sucked to lose. Well, that hasn't been the case in a while. Enjoy these times, especially a game like yesterday. So that's the overall big picture in the fandom and the Bills Mafia portion. On the field yesterday, lots of kudos or flowers to go around for big-time plays, moments, game plans, coaching. Yes, some things that were not perfect. We'll get into all of that on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday here on WGR. All right, let's start it off. Where are we going first? Raj in Williamsville. Hi, Raj. Good morning. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal. I love listening to your show. Thank you for taking my phone call. You know, I just want to talk about the Bills secondary play. You know, this year with Douglas and Benford, I think last night it showed up again where Patrick Mahomes was holding onto the ball a few more seconds, and that allowed the linebackers or the defensive line to really, you know, get after him. That's number one. And the previous years, when we had Levi Wallace, again, nothing against them. I think the defense played, you know, differently. Now they are aggressive. Even Tony Romo was mentioning during the game that the Bills were going man versus, you know, plenty of man versus zone yesterday. And they were so confident. And I think them staying healthy for the playoffs, and then I think that's going to make a big difference for us. It was a big win and so much fun to watch.
You got it, Raj. It's called a coverage sack, right? I know you know that. And yeah, they did a really nice job to force Patrick Mahomes off his spot, move around a little bit, and then when you just stay with it on the play, that's when you can make a play. And they did a good job of that yesterday. Bills are sprinkling in a little bit more man-to-man, and you know, against a team like that, you know, to be able to do that with some explosive players, but they haven't had those explosive plays necessarily. I think they felt that they could get to Patrick Mahomes a lot like teams are playing the Bills this year, and they were able to do that several times. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how are you, Sal? Great win yesterday. Went to the game, and it makes getting stuck at that border a lot worth it when you have a win.
I can imagine. I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, a couple of things. Like I say, great win. One thing that I want to just nitpick on, and then one thing I want to bring up, and I want to see what your opinion is. I'd like to see us not be so predictable running the ball on first down. I mean, it seemed like we were in second and nine every single play. And, you know, we wound up moving forward. But I wish we would play action off of that or do something different. Because if you throw the ball and it's incomplete, okay, so what? It's second and ten. It seemed like it was second and nine all day yesterday. But you know what? That's nitpicking. We'll work on that. Here's the one thing, Sal. I've been calling your show, and I've been saying, don't trust that Mahomes. He is the trickiest guy, and they got the funkiest moves that Kansas City team. And I want to know what you think about this. I don't know if you remember the play where they were trying to draw us offside.
Yep.
And with about 5 seconds left, all of a sudden Mahomes starts nonchalantly
walking
towards the sideline. I think they were going to snap the
ball. Me too. I said it. It's a great call, Billy. I said the same thing to people down on the field. I said it to Tracy Wolfson. I said, Tracy, I think they were going to direct snap because he was walking on a straight line and didn't, and it looked like he was just kind of setting it up.
But if you've seen Sal, though, the DB over there held his ground. I think he read it. I think we, because he was looking at Mahomes and talking junk with him, like, I'm not going nowhere, buddy. I think I know what you're up to.
I love it.
And great play by the Bills. Sal, great, great win. I got nothing else to say. I'll just listen to the rest of the call.
No, it's okay, Billy. Thank you. I noticed the same thing. I don't know if they were setting up for a trick play, a direct snap. It was in their own territory, maybe even not even the 40-yard line, right around there, and like 35-yard line, something like that. Mahomes is under center, long count. Okay, they're just going to take it down. And then he walks away, and he's walking down the line of scrimmage, and I thought they're going to direct snap this. And they didn't, and they wound up taking a delay of game, which I thought maybe they should have called a timeout because the 5 yards kind of cost them there too because that was made the punt a little bit more difficult. But either way, good call by you, Billy. I appreciate that. Michael in Atlanta, what's up, man?
Hey, Sal, great to talk to you as always. What a great win. So I got to see a few things real quick. Number one, you talk about feeling the energy of the game. I'm like a lot of Bills fans. You know, I'm down here from Rochester, down here in the Atlanta area. My nephew's down here. He lives in Atlanta. He's no kid. He's about your age, and we text back and forth during the game. But usually there's so much stress when we're watching the game, and we're texting back and forth, but it's just there was more of a relaxed feeling yesterday. I mean, there was enthusiasm and excitement, no question, on my part and his part. But there's something different about that game. We just felt that they're going to get it done on every drive. In fact, I'm sending the text messages on the last two Bills drives that they're going to get a touchdown on this drive. Not they need a touchdown, which is what I usually text. But you saw it in the game. You saw the energy like, Josh, of course, on that great angry run. And then even James Cook on his run when he was stopped at the two and just plowed the guy, plowed through the guy and went in the end zone. There was so much intensity and focus. And that's credit, to the coaching staff and the players for being focused in. Because you look at the backups yesterday that we had in, three starters out on offense? Is that right, Sal?
Coleman, Kincaid, and Spencer Brown, yes.
Yeah, look at the job the backups did. And,
sure.
And look at the job that, getting Samuel, it's not just getting Samuel involved and getting Cooper, involved now that he was in the game yesterday. And then, of course, Hollins, it's not just getting them involved. It's the fact that they really performed well. And that's just, credit to the whole coaching staff to having this team well-prepared. And you said it wasn't a perfect game. That's great, man. It wasn't a perfect game, but we still took down the undefeated Chiefs.
That's right.
Without a perfect game. That's pretty great.
Yeah, and with backups, like you said, Michael. Thank you. And another Mike in Connecticut wants to chime in on that, so I won't steal your thunder, Mike. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. Good morning.
I want to just bring up quickly a few unsung heroes and one point at the end.
Yep.
Ryan Van Mark stepping in, huge performance.
Yep.
Curtis Samuel, I've been overall so far disappointed with his performance throughout the season, but I hope this gets him going in the right direction and getting him more comfortable within the offense and could be great for us moving forward as wide receiver four. Dorian Williams, look at how much he's developed since last year. They were taking him off the field last year. Taking him off the field. Mm-hmm. He was a liability. Now he's flying around. Lastly, Taylor Rapp has been much better than I would have expected, and I believe a lot of this comes from experience, trust, and continuity. And I got to give credit to Brandon Bean because I called in Friday and I said how everyone nationally said the Bills were going to take a step back. And as much as I didn't want to believe that, I was like, okay, maybe a step back 10-7, 9-2. The youth movement had come at the perfect time. Our defense is flying around. We don't look as slow as we once did. And I'm just ecstatic for this future because I just feel like this window is why it was never closed, but I just feel like it's wide open again with a bright future. So I'll hang up, but I'm just ecstatic because I feel like although this game, if we lose to them in the playoffs, people could say it doesn't mean much. Like that was a meaningful game. And, like, I'm just super happy with the performance of the team.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. The last two calls, Mike and Michael, touched on a really important point, something I've talked about a lot here, which is the development, player development in this organization. You know, this is why, and I get accused of being a coach defender, specifically a Sean McDermott defender. I always try to just give you the reasons. Like, sometimes it comes off as defending when I try to explain. That's what it is. Hey, you have an issue. I'm like, well, let me explain what they were thinking here. Doesn't mean I'm defending. But I think what happens is part of the reason why I also come off as a coach defender is I try to bring the full picture of coaching to all of you here. And it's not just making a challenge call. It's not just play calling. It's not just those things you see that are so easy to pick from every single week. Coaching is so much more than that. Coaching is leading. It is developing people, right? When you're a leader in any business, your job is to lead people in the right direction, to give them the tools to succeed. It's to develop people. You can be the smartest coach, X's and O's wise. It doesn't mean you're a really good leader. You could be a great leader, not be the smartest coach. The testament of being a really good NFL coach isn't just making calls on Sunday. Sure, that matters. That's your bread and butter, right? That's what happens on Sunday. It's a results-oriented business. I get it. But when you can take people who don't normally get a chance to show what they can do because others in front of them are better at that job, and then when it comes time for them to actually play, when it comes time for them to actually step up into that role and they succeed, that's coaching. That's leading. That's developing. That's what it's all about. And the Bills have done that as good as anybody in this league. There are very, very few organizations that have the right kind and successful kind of player development the Bills have had over the last 7 to 8 years under Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and this regime and this coaching staff and this front office. It's something NFL teams covet to have that, because then you can plan for the now and for the future. And that's what they're doing. When a guy like Ryan Vandermark, I counted, Ryan Vandermark's number is 74. He also only had, ironically, 74 NFL snaps his entire life on offense. You would think it's because they just got him this year or last year. He's been in the organization for 3 years. Ryan Vandermark was an undrafted free agent by the Indianapolis Colts. He was waived at the end of the 2022 training camp. The Bills then signed him to their practice squad. They've developed him for over 2 years. And that's why he can step into that role and be successful. This organization's philosophy is to coach the whole roster. It's not just to coach the top players and hope that Josh Allen's great on Sunday. Yes, of course it helps to have Josh Allen maybe the best player in the league. Of course it does, right? Who would not tell you that? It helps Andy Reid to have Patrick Mahomes be that. It helps John Harbaugh to have Lamar Jackson be that, no doubt. But when you can develop players, when you can develop people to give them the tools, it is like being a parent, if I may. What do we do as parents? You give your children the proper knowledge and tools to eventually go off on their own to be successful. That's what's happening here. They're developing them and saying, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. There's somebody ahead of you. But we're going to keep developing and keep hammering those tools, those techniques, those skills. So when it's time for you to go off on your own and say, we got to trust you to protect Josh Allen today, you can do it. When we got to trust you, Jamarcus Ingram, to step in and play a really important role for a few games, you can do it. It's no different. So, good job by this team and this organization so far to be able to do that. And it's not going to stop. That's what's cool about it, right? It's not going to stop. Josh Allen's got a lot of years left, which is number one, A, great. I don't see Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott going anywhere. I know a lot of you don't love Sean McDermott, but sorry to tell you, I don't see it happening. I mean, I guess anything could happen. It is results-oriented business, like I said. But then they can continue this thing happening, and they've kind of given themselves a little bit of a cushion here to a softer landing, I guess, next year and the year after with the salary cap with some of the moves they made this year. It's still going to be tough and tight, but a little bit easier. Real quick, we'll go to Chris in Lackawanna, who's been waiting patiently before our first break. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'd like to mention, you know, a little bit of what you're talking about, but I'm excited about how this team roots for each other, lifts each other up, and it doesn't matter who's making the big plays, they all congratulate each other. And there's just an excitement and a feeling that they're in this together all the way from the front office to the last guy that's on that team or taxi squad or practice squad. They're all pulling together. And like you got like Curtis Samuel, been waiting for him, but he kept working at it. And there he was ready when the moment arrived. And it's just great to see. And I think we can't take it for granted that, you know, Beane and McDermott, what a team they are that puts this together.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they have a great culture. There's no doubt about it. Whatever that means sometimes can be debated, but I think with this team, it's mattering. It's manifesting itself on game day. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here with more of your phone calls at 803-0550. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Three-man rush. Has to step up in the pocket, and Von Miller's got him for the sack. This crowd's going nuts. Ed Oliver in to help him, but Von Miller was there first.
The league has stars, and he's one of them, you know what I mean? He's just a tremendous talent, very skilled guy. You know, some guys are just made to play ball in the position that they play, and he's definitely one of those guys. So it's been very fun to watch. I've been having a lot of joy since I've been here. I mean, we won every game, so it's been cool, man.
I mean, that's Kamari Cooper right there. I've been having a lot of joy since I've been here. You know, it's so funny. Here's a guy that comes in, and he was with the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Browns. Did a little bit of winning with the Cowboys, but to keep winning like this and to play with a quarterback like that, I mean, you know, he's feeling it. And I think that's a great testament and great insight into what we talked about a little bit earlier, the culture that's been built here and, you know, how people feel about their football team, even inside, you know, their own locker room. 803-0550, really good stuff there from Amari Cooper after the game, who, by the way, you wouldn't know if he won or lost the way the guy sounds. He's always the same, which is great. He's just kind of always very level the way that way he speaks and sounds. Let's go to Dennis in Buffalo. Hi, Dennis. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. I got to give you a compliment. You are the most astute analyzer of pro football play-by-plays that you talk about. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, taken a piece of beef and chopped it to make a Salisbury steak. So what Josh Allen did in that run, that he, like in every year in Barcelona, Spain, they had the run of the bulls. Well, Josh Allen did a bull run, and when he turned his body and hit the goal line, he twisted and pounded the Kansas City Steer, the defensive back, to the ground. I got to give Josh Allen a credit on the bull run. That was a Salisbury steak bull run spoken to you for the first time ever. Everybody calls you on air a Salisbury steak analyst and pro football astute play-by-play man after the fact.
All right, well, I'll take it, Dennis. Thank you very much. Josh Allen, the bull run. I mean, they aren't the Bulls. That's the college team here. Bowl-eligible Bulls, by the way. But it was a pretty darn amazing run by Josh Allen. And he did run over a guy into the end zone. So, good call. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words, by the way. Really do. Nick in Hamburg. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Sal. Love the show.
Thank you.
We had a great day yesterday. It was awesome. But then, you know, as I'm driving, I'm listening to not only your shows, but also flipping through some of the national pundit shows. And I got to say, I've been kind of annoyed this morning that, like, a lot of them are taking the stance of, you know, well, this doesn't mean anything. You know, like, it doesn't matter, really, because what matters is the playoffs in January. And in my mind, I'm like, well, it does mean something, and it matters something. Don't dismiss it the day after it happens, not even 24 hours later. It just sounds like, again, a little aggravated that the national pundits just seem to keep on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that as much as I've seen it from, like, Kansas City fans who are obviously upset that they lost, so they want to just point to, well, we have Super Bowls and you don't, and this didn't matter to us because all that matters is Super Bowls. Okay, whatever. I mean, I guess if it didn't matter, why did Patrick Mahomes play every snap? Right?
Right.
I mean, that's the retort today. If any Chiefs fan or anybody says to you, well, the game wasn't important to Kansas City, say, then why did Patrick Mahomes play every single snap? They could have sat him if it wasn't important. They want to win. That's why it's important, because it's a game.
Right, absolutely. And one final point, just like before the game happened, it was, oh, this is the biggest game of the year. This is this and that. And then so just to hear the other side of it, not even 24 hours later,
yeah,
you're 100% right.
It doesn't, no, Nick, thank you on this, and I'll say this. Look, it doesn't have to be either or, everybody, okay? Let's have some nuance we'll bring to this. Does Dr. Sal here, Uncle Sal, whatever you want to call me here on a Monday sometimes to help you out, do I have to kind of get that emotion back in check either way? It doesn't have to be one swing either way. Let's have a little nuance here and say this, okay? I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Being a fan, a sports fan, is about riding the emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that when your team wins or when your team loses. Now, if you're letting it impact your personal life to a really unhealthy degree, not good. Okay, don't do that. But you should be very happy when your team wins, and you should be upset to a degree when your team loses, depending on situation and each side. Okay? This game particularly, why would you, what do you expect? Do you expect Bills fans not to be happy? Of course. And I would expect Chiefs fans to go, ah, that sucks that the undefeated season's gone. But you know what? On to the next game, just like Bills fans are. That's great. And you should say, on to the next game. There's a little nuance in here. And what I want to mean by that is, of course Bills fans are going to be happy. Of course they should be celebrating. They just beat the Super Bowl champions, ruined their undefeated season in their house in a fantastic football game. They also know they didn't win the Super Bowl. It's okay. And they have a week to enjoy it and then get back to work. And then you have, what, five more games and the playoffs start. So, yeah. I just, I don't know. I've seen that this morning. The funniest one is the Chiefs fan, and you could find it on my Twitter feed, by the way, the Chiefs fan who tweeted something about, we don't celebrate regular season wins. And then Alex Brasky of Batavia Daily, Batavia News, I'm sorry if I get that wrong, but Alex, who's come on the show before, he had a great tweet where he showed the video of the Chiefs literally celebrating and Patrick Mahomes running around crazy after they blocked the field goal against the Broncos last week. We don't celebrate regular season wins. Oh, yeah? And by the way, they should. Why not? I don't care who you're a fan of. You win a game, man. You work hard to win a game when you're a player and a coach. And your team, you're invested every week on a Sunday or Monday or Thursday. That's what being a sports fan is all about. And calling this show, too, afterwards. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. You do a great job on the sidelines. You really do.
Even Thank you,
you're
buddy.
Losing your voice trying to yell. But
no, I'm good, man. I'm good. My voice is good. I guess I'm a little raspy today, but I'm good.
Well, you got a little hoarse towards the end.
Yeah, that happens. You know what it is sometimes? Yeah, I got to talk over the crowd. And I try to, and then I...
Yeah.
Yeah, and you try to do that. But you know what? I'd rather have it that way than being quiet because it's not exciting, right?
You know what? I'm just really happy. You know what? We're all happy where the Bills are at. You just go back when they lost them two games this year. We were all devastated. I mean, but you know what? We just beat the two-time-in-a-row Super Bowl champion. The team that has been the best team in the football for the past 5 or 6 years. We have a quarterback who is a beast out there, which we all know. And you know what? Everybody says, well, I don't know what they can do. Josh Allen had to put the team on his shoulders. That's why we drafted him. Brandon Bean even said, you're going to love this kid. That's why he gets $40 million a year. He's worth, if those other guys are getting $65 million, he's worth $80 million a year. He is a steal for what he signed for, and he truly loves Buffalo. But you know what? Look at these draft picks. Christian Benford, he's one of the best corners in the game. What was he, a fifth-round draft pick? Terrell Bernard, what a linebacker. We weathered the storm without him and Milano out there. Now, if you get Milano back and he can be healthy, do you know where this defense is going to go? We have a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl again, Sal. And you know what? Sit back and just enjoy Sean McDermott as a head coach. Everybody wanted to fire him last week. He makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. That happens out there. He didn't go for it in fourth down. He kicked the field goal. Well, you know what? That's just the way the NFL is. It's tough to win in the NFL. And you know what? Be happy. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are the best thing to come into Buffalo in the last 20 years, the job they've done here. Yes, maybe they got lucky that Josh Allen turned out where he is. But don't bash him. Don't say he should be fired. Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia and was nothing until he got Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he was a great coach, but he didn't win Super Bowls. Bill Belichick was a coach for 20 years till Tom Brady come along and won him Super Bowls. So just sit back and give him a chance. Our problem is we've ran into Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, guys. I go back to the four Super Bowls. It's a great ride. It's fun to be a Bills fan. When the Bills win, everything is happy because this city lives off the Buffalo Bills. Hey, thanks for the job you guys do. Thanks for letting me talk. Thanks for letting us vent here every Tuesday. Love your show, Sal. Love you, Sal.
You got it, Mark. Thank you. It's Monday, by the way. It's a victory Monday, not Tuesday, but that's okay. You're on a roll, and I'm not going to stop you, brother. It can be Tuesday if you want it to. Christian Benford was a sixth-round pick. Taron Johnson, a fifth-round pick. A lot of guys stepping up. Speaking of guys stepping up, when we come back, I'm going to take a timeout, come back, get to a lot of your phone calls. If you're on, I'll get to you, I promise. When we come back, I'm going to get you the Barnes Firm injury report, and I'm going to tell you something additional to that that's going to make you feel really good when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show. All right, let's get you your Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I think the Bills got out of this one pretty good. Taylor Rapp had to go to the locker room, had his foot examined. He came back in. He played the rest of the game. That happened early on, so that's great news. Deion Dawkins left for a play, came back in and played. He missed the third down that led to that fourth down. He was back on the field for that fourth down run by Josh Allen. And then the other one, I would guess Casey Tuhill might have been getting looked at a little bit, but seems like they came out of this game pretty healthy, which is great news. But here's the other thing that's even better news. I mean, it's great news that they came out healthy. How about this? Here are players who did not play for the Bills yesterday, all could very well be playing in their next game in 2 weeks. Linebacker Matt Milano, right tackle Spencer Brown, tight end Dalton Kincaid, wide receiver Keon Coleman, and defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. All could be back against the 49ers in 2 weeks. Holy smokes, that's a list of good players, starters. And yet, look, anything can happen. Last month of the year, you hope everybody stays healthy. You don't have to have any injuries and guys filling in. But now you get reinforcements back, too. And it would be something. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the next game, which is a week from, it's 13 days, Sunday night, December 1st against the 49ers. Let's go to Pat, Massachusetts. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks.
Hey, listen, I'm a Villanova graduate, and I moved out of Lancaster in the 70s. So I live about 10 miles from Foxborough. It's all flowers today for McDermott, man. Amazing coaching job he's done. I'm over the 13 seconds. The program he's built. I don't even know some of these guys on defense. And I follow the team just as close as you. And this Benford kid. My buddy is the broadcaster of Villanova football and basketball, my best friend from college.
Love it.
He's like, he's going to be a star. And I'm like, we don't even know how we got him at Villanova.
Yeah.
He's a stud. Oh, my God, I love him.
Yeah.
Amazing coaching job. And I hope they can keep the offensive coordinator for a couple more years. I think he's doing a really nice job, Sal.
Yeah, well, both coordinators are young and probably going to be on short lists for head coaching candidates at the end of the year. But, you know, I agree. You know, it'd be great to keep them. You also don't want to stymie them from a great opportunity if it comes your way. And what we've seen, Pat, there's been a lot of talk about, well, if you have a defensive coach, then all you're going to do is keep changing offensive coordinators when they keep getting jobs. Well, guess what? That's happened, and they're still just as good.
I think about Ben Johnson staying with the Lions,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, give him some cash and keep him. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, I wonder. He'll be on a short list as well. Pat, great call, and good to hear about your buddy at Villanova. That's pretty cool. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, you got it. Let's go to Alex, who's next up. Hold on there. Alex in Philadelphia. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal. Alex from Philly. Just wanted to say really enjoy listening to your show. I'm someone who works in analytics, and so it's really nice when you present the statistics on things. So it just helps take some of the emotions out of the wins and losses of the game. I did have one question from you or for you. Great game yesterday. But one thing I've noticed last two games is that even though we've won, Josh just seems to not look very excited. In particular, like last night's game, as he was leaving, when he's like handing his stuff out to the fans, like didn't really smile. In the post game interview, or well, in the interview, but with McDermott's speech to the team in the locker room, again, just didn't really seem very happy. Just as you are someone that's close to the players, didn't know if that was something you've noticed, picked up on, and if you had any insights on that.
Well, I think a couple things here, Alex. Did you see his reaction after he scored the touchdown?
I did, yes. I did see that.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously he's in the moment extremely emotional. I mean, he's doing anything he can to win, very happy, and you see those moments right there. I also think that Josh has matured and there's a bigger picture involved here, and he knows that, right? Like Josh has said all week, it's a week 11 game. Now, it's not lost on him. They're playing the Chiefs and they're undefeated. But I think Josh has matured, and you could say that, yeah, you'd like to see maybe more emotion, but he's been at this long enough where he knows this was a great win, but there's a lot more work to be done. They have bigger goals in front of them, no doubt. So I would not look at that as a negative. If you are, I think I would just look at it as he is everything he needs to be emotionally during a game, but after the game, he understands there's a bigger picture involved as well.
Got it. Thanks, Sal, for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. You know, I mean, I think Josh has matured at that level where, remember last year, low positive, it was always talk last year. Like, what do you mean? He just seemed like he was always flatlined all the time, even during games. That's changed. He is emotional during games now. But I think after the game, before the game, during the week, you know, he's been in the league long enough. They haven't reached their goals. He understands there's a bigger picture. And I think Josh, you know, there's been some subtle references about Josh has some things he wants to accomplish and Josh's goals, Deion Dawkins. I think it's important for this organization, for Josh Allen. They would love to give him get him an MVP. It doesn't mean it's the most important thing. A Super Bowl is. A Lombardi is. But if you think Josh Allen or a Buffalo Bills player, a Buffalo Bills quarterback not winning MVP isn't special to an organization, come on. It would be to anyone. Let's go to Joseph out in Seattle. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for getting me on. This is the first time on. Amazing Bill Mafia scene out here in Seattle. I think there were probably 500 people at a bar that we go to, Art Marble. So I want to just be succinct about my comments here. First, amazing win, amazing coach, amazing general manager. I have a question for all those people that are kind of down. I mean, like, my question is, how is this like your life? If you see everything through the negative lens, through the half glass full, how does that translate into, you know, what you see on the field? I really have to ask you that. I was born in 55. I think I was born a Bills fan, even though they weren't alive at that time. I remember 65. I remember 90. So I can't believe how people can still be negative after a 9-2 win, a great coach. So what do you think, Sal?
You know, I'll tell you, Joseph, I, as you know, because you listen to the program, I'm a generally happy, optimistic person. I just am. That's why I live my life, right? So sometimes it might come through even too enthusiastically to a lot of people. I get that. I know who I am. I'm okay with it. But it took me a long time in life. I've been like that since I was young. It took me quite a while in life to understand until I got to be an adult and around other people and a lot more in this industry. Not everybody. Oh, you okay there?
That was just my zipper.
So I took me a while to understand that not everybody's like that, and I was naive, right, to think that, because I thought everybody was like that in life, because that's the way I kind of lived my life and thought, yeah, what's you're living life here and be happy and be positive, you know, and have good relationships, but you know, so I get it. I'm with you where I don't understand how you can always just live your life like that and think about it in that way. But everybody's different, and it's taken me a long time. It took me a long time to realize it. I don't like it. I still don't get it sometimes, but that's just the way people are. And I say the same thing. Like, how about this? I say it this way to people sometimes, Joseph, which is, if your favorite team winning and being successful and being 9-2 makes you unhappy, why do you even make it a part of your life?
That's so well stated.
Right? Like, why go through that? Just don't follow. Don't be emotionally invested then.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Break in here.
You got it, buddy, Joseph. I got to go, buddy. I got to get to a break. Thank you so much for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back for the second hour. Stay on hold if you're there. We still have open phone lines as well. 803-0550 is the number to call here today on a great Buffalo football victory Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sent up by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Guys, I'm standing here with Curtis Samuel, your first touchdown in a Buffalo Bills uniform. Tell me about it.
Hey, it's been a long time coming. All season, I've been just grinding, working hard, waiting for my moment, understanding that the time will come at some point. In a big game like this, what better time to do it?
What was the key against this defense? They were stingy today. You guys had to make a few critical plays.
I mean, it's just my execution. Each and every week, we focus on us. We feel like if a lot of guys can play together, play hard, know it's football, we can win against anybody.
I know you've seen it from afar, but now you saw Josh Allen on a 4th-and-2, what he does. What's it like playing with him when he's in that mode?
Josh is special. Unlike anything, I'm telling you, he's very special. And to have a guy like that leading this team is amazing.
And now you guys go to the bye week. After beating this team, giving them the first loss of the season, what's this going to be like for you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking forward to this. I need the rest really bad. I think the whole team needed it. Great win. You know, Bills Mafia, we thank y'all so much.
Curtis, congratulations. Great job today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Who knew what Curtis Samuel sounded like until yesterday, right? We never talked to him anymore. Right? We never talked to him. I mean, we did. I'm kidding, because he finally made a difference in a game. He really did, and he was a big part of the Bills. 5 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, a good stat line, not an overwhelming stat line, a stat line that if you have that every game for Curtis Samuel, I'll take it. Let's go. Like, that's a nice stat line. But the critical plays that he made and the touchdown, keeping his balance on that. And by the way, the other part about the stat line that goes unnoticed there, 6 targets, 5 catches on 6 targets. It had been him and Josh not necessarily on the same page. They were yesterday. He gets he gets opportunity. He cashes in on them. The Bills win the game 30-21. Sal Capaccio here to talk all about it with you for hour number 2 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We are streaming the show live. You can see my smiling face, my Buffalo Victory Monday t-shirt, and the comments that you may have over on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/WGR550. Facebook.com/WGR550 is where you can watch the show. You can get involved that way if you want. I can't be typing back at you, so you can say whatever you want in the comments. Keep it clean. Keep it cool. In the meantime, you can also call. 803-0550 is the number to call. We also need to get connected with our fans. So let's do that right now. I got a great tweet I want to read you. Someone sent me a message. And that is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We got Ginger's Gridiron and Golf Podcast, who tweeted at me. Sent me a message. Actually, I've interacted with them. They do a good job. I'm going to trust this is right. First time ever, Mahomes, Burrow, and Jackson lost in the same week. Wow. I'm going to trust that's right. That is an interesting stat. But not Josh Allen. Mahomes, Burrow, and Jackson. All lose. We'll run through the NFL and what happened over the weekend at some point, if we get a chance. If not, because we have so many calls, we'll keep doing that today. Because a lot happened yesterday, which impacts what happens going forward. Let's start off this hour with Terry in Texas. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Sal. You know, I saw it just real quick. I saw a great observation on X this morning that Mahomes started the game with a pick and ended the game with a pick,
yep,
which was pretty cool. And then, all in all, I thought it was a great game. And you know, it didn't feel like they took total control, but it felt like they were in control. And I know that because I didn't pace around my living room for an hour and a half. The running game had me a little bit, you know, upset, but I kind of chalked that up to them maybe just trying to keep Kansas City's offense off the field, and I walked away with, you know.
They're a tough defense to run on, too. They are the number two defense in the league in yards per play. That is the one area the Bills need to be better. You can't keep putting yourself in third and six, seven, or eight and expecting to convert. They did a lot of that yesterday. They need to be better, especially if they play them again.
Yes, sir, absolutely. One thing I did want to say, and the reason for my call, and maybe it's a hot take, but I truly do believe that Buffalo is America's team. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the reactions at SoFi Stadium when they seen Allen run in for that touchdown, if you look at, you know, the people at the pregame show before the game began, you know, people are behind this team, and I think a demonstration of that, or the reason why people can get behind them or align themselves with them, is because they really do epitomize what a group of individuals looks like when they're resilient and they're strong and they focus on one goal and they put their heads together. And, you know, we don't have a flashy squad and big name guys that are, you know, wearing, you know, $100,000 worth of jewelry while they're on the field. We got some hard-working, put-their-head-down, nose-to-the-grindstone type of individuals. And, you know, me, myself, I love that. And a lot of people, you hear the calls that you're getting from around the country, me included. I'm born and raised in Buffalo, but, you know, I'll never stray away from these Bills' roots. But, you know, I told your screener that I get more text messages during a Bills game like yesterday in those 3 hours than I do on my birthday. People are watching. People are paying attention. People get excited for them. They get excited for me to be able to see. My wife, when I met her 10 years ago, you know, she wasn't even really into football. She was jumping up during that run before I was, you know, screaming how, you know, for the team. And she's all in. My father-in-law, he lives with us. And, you know, every Sunday he's like, is Josh going to play today? And, you know, he gets the same response. You're damn right. You know what I mean? But it's just great to see them and see the country embrace them. And, of course, you know, people want to hate on the Chiefs, but you got to love the support that we get from other fan bases and the team gets just all around the country, just wanting to see them succeed and, you know, take this thing as far as they can get it. You know, obviously we all want the ring, and you know, I'm not saying that yesterday's victory guarantees that, but it sure as hell was a big step. Forget all the haters. I mean, knocking them off that path of undefeated, man, cheers, you know?
Yeah, Terry, when's your birthday? What day?
May 29th.
May 29th. All right, this is the call out to all Terry's friends listening. Make sure you text him on his birthday. All right, Terry, there you go, buddy. All right, make sure you get a lot of text.
Hey, I'll take the Bills. Way.
I know you will.
I'm 44. I'm 44 years old.
All right, buddy. All right. I got you, my man. I got you. I got to run because I got another call from the Lone Star State. Clover is on the line now. What's going on, Clover?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, man. I just really appreciate, you know, like you said, you know, we got to enjoy this, take it all in. You know, just you describing the scene there at the stadium was really special. When you were talking to Jeremy and Joe this morning about Amari Cooper catch, that just sounded like it was amazing.
Amazing. It was amazing. It was right in front of me. I could not believe he caught that ball. When the ball was thrown, Clover, I thought Josh might have been throwing it away, actually. And then when I saw Amari, I thought there's no way he's getting to this. He turned his head. Like, the ball had to be at least halfway, maybe three quarters to him by the time he turned his head. And to him to find it and track it and then make the catch with 2 feet down, 1 foot down and 1 foot gets in after that. Absolutely amazing. And it's moments like that where you say, that's why these guys are the greatest in the world at what they do.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then I think just some people, we used to seeing Allen make a play like that on the 4th and 2, and it's just, it's not automatic. It's really special. It really is. But I know this isn't like a hot topic, but I was actually curious, what do you know about that tight end, the 6'7" tight end that made that catch? I was really surprised. Like, who's this guy?
Zach Davidson?
Yeah.
So it's his first ever NFL game, actually. He was on the Minnesota Vikings practice squad a while back. He had been released. The Bills picked him up. He'd been with the Bills the last couple years, but he had a season-ending injury last year. So he's on the injured reserve all year. And then he made the practice squad again this year, and he works every day as a practice squad tight end. He was a punter in college as well. He's a very good athlete.
Wow, okay. Well, he made a big play. And I just think, you know, you talk about this a lot, too. It's just a testament to the whole culture and the coaching. For all these, you know, the starters, you know, Sean McDermott says it all the time, guys going down, guys stepping up. and it really rings true. And so, but yeah, I really appreciate that. The interview with Curtis Samuel was really special at the end of the game. Appreciate that.
You got it.
And hope you enjoy some time with your family.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Clover. You have a great bye week and Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you. That is Clover in Texas. Always a good call there. Jay on a cell. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Sal. How are you? Good morning.
I'm great. Good morning to you as well.
So I am on the road from Buffalo back to Richmond, where I moved last year. Still make most of the games. But so I had a couple of comments about kind of the long game. You know, we know that this game, everybody was kind of saying, yeah, it's the regular season. It doesn't matter that much if we win or lose. We're kind of unhappy that Kansas City is saying it didn't mean much to lose. We probably would have been saying the same thing had we lost.
Sure.
But
I think in the grand scheme, everybody knows that this did not end a season either way, right? But there's nothing wrong with being happy that you won and putting yourself in a better position.
Yeah, and so we're a half game out for our home field, and that could be a thing.
Yeah.
But and going into the bye on a positive note can't hurt either. So as far as what the game meant, I feel great. Sorry if my voice is still kind of fried.
That's all right, buddy. I get it.
So the other long game question that I have, and I wanted to get your perspective as a coach on this, and it might have had a little bit to do with how we played this game and all the running on first down and everything else. Everybody has said, we think we're going to see that team again. Could they have coached this game a little bit on the let's be a little vanilla? Because if we do see them again, we want to bring out some stuff that they haven't seen. So I wonder if that kind of thinking would go into a game plan from a coaching perspective.
It's a good question, and let me answer it this way, okay, Jay? I asked this same question to Eric Wood before the game because he would be somebody who would be closer to that to be able to know from a player's perspective and what would happen. And Eric said, no, you coach this game to win this game, and then you make the proper adjustments next game based on what happened, how it unfolded, and what you think they'll do. So, yeah, now there's always a chance you might throw a formation or a personnel package out there during a play or a series that, you know, you might not use or you want to make them prepare for. I would not say you would do vanilla, though. The Bills were very aggressive in this game. There's no doubt about that. But the way Eric said it, and I like this, he said, no, you coach this game to win this game, and then you go back and say, what did we do that we can show them differently next game?
Okay. I appreciate that, and thank you for all the great info and everything, all the insight.
Yeah, you got it, Jay.
I hear you on the road, man.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. Bill up in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, buddy. Thanks.
Listen, I was watching the game, and I thought you might know the answer to this.
Okay.
I was specifically watching Kelce in the first half because I wanted to see what the Bills were doing to throw him off. And I could pick him up really easy because he's wearing yellow shoes. And then I said to my wife, we're watching the game, I said, like, why does Kelce get to wear yellow shoes? Like, that's a uniform violation, and I think that gives him a big advantage when Mahomes tries to do that little inside shuffle pass to Kelce, the three or four little, almost like a little shuffle right at the line. And then I'm watching, and so I thought, that's kind of weird. And then when he came out, he was wearing white shoes. So I was happy to see that.
Uh-oh. Bill, I'm really sorry, but your call dropped up in Toronto. I don't know if he gets fined for that. I don't think he does. I think you can wear different colored shoes. His shoes match his uniform, actually, the yellow. It's a good question. I don't think you can. And then he changed. That's interesting, too. Maybe because he was too easy to pick up. Yeah. Good stuff there. I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question if you're going to ask me because your call dropped. Like, was that a reason he changed his shoes? I didn't even notice he changed his shoes. I guess that's the case. They did a great job on Travis Kelce. By the way, I wrote about it, Arrow Up, Arrow Down. Check it out. Arrow Up, Arrow Down, WGR550.com. One of the arrows up I gave the Bills was their job they did defensively on Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce yesterday had two catches for eight yards. One of those went for six, maybe. Another thing, the other one went for two. But either way, one of those was because Cam Lewis grabbed him and pulled him down before he could get extra yardage on a big third down. Cam Lewis played a heck of a game yesterday as a backup defensive back who comes in dime situations. He made two fantastic plays near the end of the game. He had a great play on special teams as a gunner. These are the guys we talk about that aren't on the field all the time. You have to develop. Stop looking at your team and football as just, you know, highlight reels. There's a full team of people that have to contribute in games. And that's what you saw yesterday from the Buffalo Bills. He was one of them. Let's go to Mike in Lancaster, home of the Section 6 champion Lancaster Legends, coached by Eric Rupp. Congratulations to them. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Sorry if I missed one of these points. I just got able to turn your show on. But I got three things. I'll hang up and listen to you. First one was in the second quarter. I think the score was 13-7. Mm-hmm. Bills decided to go for it on a 50-yard field goal. My opinion is at that point early in the game, maybe you kick that field goal, put them up by 9 points. 50-yard field goal is not what it used to be. Bash should be able to make that. And I think McDermott dropped the ball on that one.
I agree with you. I would have preferred the field goal there, the field goal attempt. My guess is, I don't know this, my guess is that, you know, Sean had already seen Tyler Bass miss an extra point, right? He had done that already. And he thought probably, hey, we're not gonna, if they miss the field goal, let's remember, then you're giving the Chiefs really good field position right there, right? But at the same time, it obviously didn't work out for the Bills. I agree with you, though. I would have preferred the field goal attempt there.
Yeah, especially early in the game. Same thing what happened in Indy last week. He decided not to kick the field goal. We don't get it in fourth down. That again makes it I think it was a 7-point game.
I think you're talking about, that's the one that was intercepted, right? Too, was that the one we're talking about?
Yesterday,
yeah,
correct. Yeah.
Yeah, they intercepted. I mean, it was a third quarter by then, but either way, yep, we're on the same page here. Go ahead.
Gotcha. And then two more things. Dawson Knox played a great game. Mm-hmm. That catch where he threw into the visitor sideline and took the cameraman out reminded me of the old Dawson Knox catch against Cincinnati. I think he ran like three guys over a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought he played a great game. And not to bash Kincaid, but I haven't seen what everyone's been talking about with Kincaid. And I'd like to see a little more Dawson Knox in the future. And then the last one is the punch to Josh Allen's head on that touchdown. I think it was number 33. This is one of the safeties. Did you see that?
I did, yes.
And I'm just wondering, do you think that something will be brought up to the league with that?
Well,
that
last week, you remember the guy who punched him last week in Indy trying to do the same thing?
Yep.
I believe, I have to go check on this, I believe I read he might have been fined for that, but I have to go check. So yes, that can be, because he's trying to strip the ball, but you know he can't punch a player, and he punched him right in the face mask. So yeah, it could be for sure. It's interesting, Mike. Thanks a lot for the phone call. I want to address Dawson Knox here, because what a juxtaposition, right, for people on Dawson Knox right now. How many, raise your hand if you were saying 2 months ago, why the heck is Dawson Knox on this team? And now you're saying, and people are, hey, they need more of Dawson Knox. Again, let's go back. Now, I'm not telling you he's not getting a little too much money for his role. That can definitely be a talking point here, right? But as I've said all week, when we didn't know if Dalton Kincaid was playing, I'm going to say what I said all week. You could do a lot worse than Dawson Knox stepping up as your number one tight end. He can be a number one tight end in this league. He's a number two on the Bills. He was a number one on the Bills. And he's still a good player. And he can play in every situation. And I'm glad that he's on the Bills because, again, yesterday, just because a guy is a backup and making maybe a little more money than you want, doesn't mean you have to get rid of him. Because guess what? That backup has to play sometimes. Like Dawson Knox, who had 4 catches for 40 yards yesterday, including that 24-yarder. Josh in Los Angeles. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Sal, love the show. I just want to say that, first of all, James Cook and Amari Cooper, early game heroics and great running by Cook on that touchdown was that. Look, the fact of the matter is, for all the McDermott detractors, you got to give him props because they had to get away from all that zone, passing Travis Kelce off from zone to zone in the past. It didn't work. And what they did yesterday by incorporating a lot more man coverage was absolutely essential. Great players get open, but they had to start adopting some more man-to-man, and they did it. And you got to give McDermott credit for what happened yesterday. That was a great coaching performance.
Yeah, I agree with you. They did a great job. Not just McDermott, but a lot of the players in the locker room gave credit to Bobby Babich, the defensive play caller, obviously, Josh, too. You know, it's McDermott's philosophy.
Indeed.
But, you know, Bobby Babich coming up with the game plan. So good call on that, and I appreciate it. Let's go to Alan in Buffalo. Hi, Alan.
Hey, morning, Sal.
Morning.
The caller before the fella here, he asked the same question I was going to ask like 2 weeks in a row. Josh been punched like he's somebody's sparring partner. You know, is anything being followed up with the league about that? You know, it's so obvious.
Yeah, and it's like what's bothering me is, you know, it's I get the whole peanut punch thing. I do. And, you know, you're trying to punch the ball out. But at some point, I think the league has to say, like, look, we gotta tone it down if you're just going to be whacking at players in the ball, unless you have a clear shot at the ball. I remember a couple of years ago, somebody, I think it might have been Watt, I'm not sure, it was somebody on the Steelers, like, went to punch the ball and punched a guy in the stomach so hard he, like, injured him, basically. You know what I mean? Because he's trying to punch the ball out. So, yeah, I agree with you there. I do think, and I'm looking, here we go. Deo, I'm not to try and say his last name for the Colts, the player for the Colts last week. He was fined about $11,000 last week for repeatedly punching Josh Allen on the QB sneak.
Wow.
So there you go. So maybe the same fate will happen here to the Kansas City player who punched Josh Allen. Because that's what he did, right? I mean, he's trying to go for the ball. I get it. I don't think he's trying to hurt him. But if you just have no consequences, that's the problem, I guess, right? The problem is, if you have no consequences for missing the ball and jacking someone up, then you're just going to keep doing it and injure somebody. And then you have no consequences. You gotta have consequences for that. Luckily, Josh is okay. Tom in North Tonawanda. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much, Sal. Beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful win. First, I'm going to jump in and add one thing. I like that first fourth down call. And to me, you can't separate the two. And to me, it's more the mindset of McDermott and this team this year and saying, okay, Josh, you're the man. Go and get us the yards. Yeah, sometimes it's not going to work out, but you know what? Most of the time it is, and it's going to work out for us. I love that first fourth down call, even though it didn't work out, obviously. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a mindset, a confidence he has in his team and his offense and his all-world quarterback that, you know, I think that's very important. And going forward, we need to see more of it, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got it.
So, but no, I just want to talk about, you know, two guys that I thought yesterday made some opinions. And look, you and I have talked about Cam Lewis a lot, and you just talked about him, so I'm not going to go over that again. But he, you know, he didn't overall didn't have a lot of snaps, but when he was out there, he was really contributing and making plays. And that special teams tackle was right in front of me. That was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's also nice, you know, Von Miller, he had a sack. I saw, watched some other plays, and he's getting off that edge quickly like he did when he first got to Buffalo. And there were other times he pressured Mahomes, made him move around, and was making plays. And, you know, he can stay contributing like this with this defense, even with the limited number of snaps at his age. That's going to be really important going forward. And maybe this will be the year that he can finally get in. They can get him into the playoffs and use his unique skill set and experience to get over that hump. I just really liked his game yesterday, and it's, you know, I think it's something that's going to show up better when people watch the film.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, a couple of, Von, you're talking about there in that one, right? Yeah, you're talking about Von. Yeah. And last week, somebody said to me last week, Von had a really good rating on like PFF, and for whatever, I don't care. You can like that or not like it, but he had a really good rating on PFF against Indy. Someone tweeted at me, "Well, I can't believe they did that. I mean, he did nothing." I'm like, what? Or did you watch the game? Just because it's not on the stat sheet doesn't mean he didn't impact it. He was a direct result. His play, his impact was a direct result of Austin Johnson making the interception against Indy. Yesterday, he comes around the edge. When someone else flushes, he's right there. Ed Oliver cleans him up. Like, of course. I mean, all those things matter. They go into the that's when you marry the rush with the coverage and all those things that football people like to talk about, then that's why he's impactful, even if he's not on the stat sheet impactful.
Absolutely, absolutely. There might not be a lot of stats, but he's helping other players get stats and make play too by being there and being his presence. So I just really liked his game yesterday.
You got it, Tom. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great week.
You too, bye.
All right, thank you. All right, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, Lake Hour look ahead to the next game and a look around the NFL. Coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, it's a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you. Great show today. Great phone calls. We'll continue it after this timeout.
Back to pass, play action. Allen has to throw it out in the right flat to Shakir. He's at the 50. Gets away from a tackler. 45-40. 35-30. And rumbles his way down to the 27-yard line. There's the yards after catch.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a couple house cleaning items here before we move on and jump around the NFL. First of all, Bills are off next week. I'm off next week, so I will not be here on Monday. You're going to, I guess, get Josh and Zach. They'll be here. You can see their smiling faces on the video stream as well. Taking a vacation every year, I like to just take a vacation somewhere during the Bills bye week if we can. Take the fam out somewhere. Like, say, it's like it's the one weekend, like, all right, it's been a grind. Let's get away for a week. Sometimes by weeks in October, November, whatever. And I look and say, is there anything cool going on somewhere else we can go? This year, just happened to notice, oh, wait a minute, whoa, Bills bye weekend? Sabres in San Jose in California? Let's go. So actually, we're going to be heading out to California later this week. And San Jose and San Francisco doing Alcatraz on Friday night. I can't wait. And we're doing the night tour. I'd done the day tour years ago at Alcatraz. Taking Yana and Max to the, we're all going together, California, doing the night tour at Alcatraz Friday night. Then we're going to do Sabres Sharks on Saturday. Get this, the Sabres Sharks game on Saturday in San Jose is a 5 p.m. West Coast start. Okay? 8 p.m. here. They're retiring Joe Thornton's number that night, randomly, like in that game against the Sabres, which is kind of weird, right? So anyway, they're doing that. And then we're going to head to Napa on Sunday. Never done Napa. Weather in San Fran doesn't look great. Like kind of rainy and, you know, 50s. But that's okay. We're going to have a good time. And it'll be awesome. So that means I won't be back here till right before Thanksgiving. Then we'll come back and we'll get ready for Thanksgiving week and the Bills again. We'll talk about the game next week. So anyway, just wanted to let that out there and let you know what's going on here. So you won't have me on Friday or on Monday next week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right. Tonight, Texans take on the Cowboys. Cowboys are just a shell right now. Texans should win this game, but they have not been great lately. Bobby Slowick, a lot of questions about that offensive coordinator. This is a great example of what I mean earlier. I said, you could be a really smart NFL head coach, but just because you're smart doesn't mean you're a great coach, great leader, great adjuster, all that kind of stuff. I'm not telling you Bobby Slowick's not all any of those things. What I am telling you is, though, even though he can design plays, there's been questions about how he's developing C.J. Stroud and C.J. Stroud hitting a plateau here. So, interesting game. They get Nico Collins back tonight. Texans 6-4 have a chance to go 7-4 and be a big part of that AFC playoff picture as they are now, but to maintain their division lead. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's get to what happened yesterday first. NFC Packers beat the Bears 20-19. I believe in this game, Jordan Love. Yes, he did. He scored a touchdown with less than 3 minutes left. Otherwise, it was a... It was a grind for the Packers. Caleb Williams of the Bears, 231, no touchdowns, no picks. Jordan Love, 261, one touchdown and one pick. The Detroit Lions beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 52-6. Has Doug Peterson been fired yet? I don't think so. Has Doug Peterson been fired yet this morning? Okay, he hasn't yet. I'm expecting that to happen at some point soon, this week, today. I don't know, because holy cow, there were rumors yesterday he was told it was going to happen after the game regardless. And then they lose 52-6. And by the way, they may have lost Gabe Davis for the rest of the year. Apparently, Gabe Davis has a meniscus injury. Is that what you read, Josh? It was Gabe Davis meniscus. Is that what it is? We don't know exactly the extent of it.
We're not sure if it's a tear, but okay. they're getting more opinions on it.
Yeah, that's a shame. Jared Goff, 412 yards and four touchdowns. All right, the Jags, by the way, 2-9. The Lions, 9-1. Wow. Miami... Tell you, they've been playing a lot better lately, even against the Bills. They played a good game. They lost, obviously, but they've now won a couple in a row since then. The Rams and now the Raiders, 34-19 yesterday. Tua throws for 268 and three touchdowns. Devon Achane ran for 73 yards and a touchdown. And the Dolphins improved to 4-6. They're trying to climb their way into the AFC playoff picture. Raiders are pretty much out of it at 2-9 on the season. Dolphins now improved to 5-6. I want to make sure that's right. 4-6. Sorry, 4-6. And the Raiders, with the loss, go to 2-8 now on the season. Okay, I was kind of reading it wrong. I was reading what happened before the game. Okay, what else we got? Rams at Patriots yesterday. Drake May again looks pretty good. 30 of 40. Nice stat line. 282. Two touchdowns. an interception as well. But Matthew Stafford, 295 and 4 touchdowns for the L.A. Rams. He was terrific yesterday. He throws to Cooper Kupp for a pair, Puka Nacua for one. They both went over 100 yards. The Bills play the Rams in a couple in about 3 weeks. Rams 5-5, Patriots 3-8 on the season. The New Orleans Saints clobber the Cleveland Browns 35-14. I had a choice. I have Dalton Kincaid on my fantasy team. I knew he wasn't going to play, so I picked up Dawson Knox. No shame in that. You know who I passed on instead? I thought about it. Taysom Hill. Yep. He's listed as a tight end. I could have grabbed him.
My friends make fun of me every year because I draft Taysom Hill in the last round of the draft.
Yep.
And then I usually drop him by week 5 because I'm getting frustrated. And then here we are.
He had an amazing fantasy day yesterday. He ran 7 times for 138 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also threw a pass. He had an interception on the pass, by the way. He threw 2 passes. 1 was picked. But yeah, an amazing day. 35-14. Browns, a lost season for them. They're 2-8. Saints trying to climb back into the NFC playoff picture after firing their head coach, Dennis Allen. They're now 4-7. Boy, a team that's not going to climb back in the playoff picture, it appears every week we hear about them possibly doing it, is the New York Jets. They lose yesterday on a touchdown scored by the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson on a 4-yard run with 46 seconds left in the game. Richardson has a nice day. 20 of 30, 272 and a touchdown. I didn't drop him, by the way, in my fantasy league, but he didn't help me win. He had some nice points. He ran for 32 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 29, 184, 2 touchdowns. Nothing downfield from this team right now. I don't know why Breece Hall... I guess he had a good game yesterday, but it just seems like hasn't been what they thought this year running the ball. Devontae Adams, decent day, 6 catches, 72 yards, no touchdowns. Garrett Wilson, only 4 of 18 catching the ball. But the big story here now is the Colts 5-6 trying to keep pace, and the Jets 3-8, certainly not. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. What's the joke, Schulten Bulldog, always say every game is 16-15? Well, guess what? It was 18-16 in this one. 18-16. The Steelers win on 6 field goals.
Speaking
they win the
of
game.
Fantasy football, Chris Boswell.
My gosh.
24 points.
18 direct, depending on if you have scoring for longer field goals. He had 6 field goals in this game. They win because of it, but the Ravens come back and score and then go for 2 to tie it. They don't get it. Lamar Jackson, only 207 yards passing. Russell Wilson, only 205 yards passing. Defensive game here goes to the Steelers, who extend their lead in the AFC North. Wow. 7-4 for the Ravens, 8-2 for the Steelers. Minnesota Vikings take care of business, 23-13 over the Tennessee Titans. Vikings now 8-2 on the season. Really nice season in there in Minnesota. They're a contender in the NFC. And the Titans, they're going to be... having a high draft pick this year, 2-8 now, they fall to on the season. Sam Darnold, 20 of 32, 246 and 2 touchdowns. Will Levis, 295 yards, a touchdown and an interception. The Broncos, they're starting to look a lot better. They're looking really good. Bo Nix is looking really good. Rookie quarterback, 307 yards and 4 touchdowns on the day. 38-6. They take care of business against an Atlanta Falcons team that had been playing really good. Says a lot about the Broncos right now at 6-5. They're 6-5 and very much in the thick of it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and predict they're going to take the AFC West. That's not going to happen. But they very well could be a 7 seed or even a 6 seed and be a very tough out in the playoffs in the AFC. The Seattle Seahawks beat the Niners. Niners, they don't have George Kittle, but they do get Trent Williams back and Bosa back. And guess what? They still lose to the Seahawks in San Fran, 20-17. Brock Purdy in this one, 21 of 28. Nice stat line, but 159, a touchdown, interception. That's the Bills' next game here. We'll talk about that in a minute. The San Francisco 49ers drop to 5-5. Seahawks 5-5. Rams 5-5. Arizona Cardinals lead that division at 6-4. And then late last night, big comeback by the Bengals, but it ultimately falls short. They were down 27-6. They score 3 straight touchdowns to tie it and then lose. Neither team wanted to win the game, it seemed like, in the end. They both had great opportunities, couldn't cash the deal until finally... the Chargers did. 34-27. Chargers 7-3. Bengals 4-7. I don't know if you could have predicted either of these two teams having these records. Really sets up interesting in the AFC. Right now, AFC conference. Kansas City, the 1 seed at 9-1. Buffalo, the 2 seed at 9-2. Then it's Pittsburgh, the 3, and Houston, the 4, the division leaders. Chargers, Ravens, Denver, Broncos. Right now, if the season ended, which it doesn't, the Broncos will come to the Bills in round 1 of the playoffs. Still a lot of football to be played. By the way, doing the math, looks like the Bills' magic number is 2. You know what that means? Any combination of 2 wins or losses between the Bills and the Dolphins. Two Buffalo wins, Dolphins losses, or one of each. Although I think the Patriots could still be mathematically alive, so maybe you couldn't clinch. It is possible, though. It is possible, I believe, for the Bills to have a chance to win the division in their next game against the San Francisco 49ers, depending how everything else plays out before they hit the field that night. We'll talk about that game and get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's sit up on the New York Giants kind of, sort of, maybe tanking without actually tanking. Or is that what they're doing by starting Tommy DeVito?
Yes.
100%. I mean, come on. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and say that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want to lose games. They don't. But I think they must be okay with it if they're choosing Tommy DeVito over Drew Lock.
Did you also see, this is from Mike Giannini at Spot Track.
Okay.
Part of the reason why Drew Lock isn't playing is because of his player incentives. So, playing time incentives, he's got 20.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of things.
So that's when you could say they're not trying to lose, but they're not intentionally trying to win. Because if that were the case, you wouldn't care about playtime incentives to pay the guy. Yeah, we got to win, right? They want to win games, but this is one of those things where, if we lose, it's okay.
He's got 7 different player or team incentives in his contract. But
yes.
I think it might also be a reason why.
All right, let's stand down. What has happened to Justin Tucker and Evan McPherson? Holy cow, these two kickers who are amazing in their careers, and they've made clutch kicks. They can't kick anymore. McPherson missed like 2 that cost him the game last night. Tucker missed 2 that cost him the game yesterday. What has happened to these kickers? I mean, Tyler Bass has had his struggles, no doubt. He's not the only one. It's amazing. What has happened to Justin Tucker and Evan McPherson? Let's stand down on these two great kickers and the years they are not having. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
Every year, this week, my buddies are the same people. And that is a congratulations to all of the high school football champions in Western New York and throughout the state for winning your sectionals. In fact, here in Section 6, some really great games out at the stadium this past weekend. Now, Section 6 takes on Section 5 in the Far West Regional. So my buddies, congratulations. Class AA, Lancaster. Class A, Sweet Home. Class B, Health Sciences. Class C, Salamanca. Class D, CSP, which is Clymer, Sherman, Panama. Congratulations, all my buddies. Go represent Section 6. Have the time of your life. Go represent and help out and support your high school football teams, your local high school football teams. Some big games coming up against Section 5 over in the Rochester area, different games. So going to be really cool. Congratulations, all my buddies, the Section 6 high school football champions. All right, it is time now for the Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Rich Pete, big Bills fan. I'm sure he's very happy today. I was texting with him a couple of days ago. I know that they're really, really enjoying the success of Lake Hour, and a lot of you have really said how much you enjoy it. I'm telling you, I'm not the beer guy, right? You know that. I'm not a big beer guy. I like my red wine, you know, once in a while and a nice dinner, but I'll drink my seltzers. This is like a seltzer. This is a seltzer. It's a vodka and tequila hard seltzer. You're going to love it. They have great flavors. LakeHour.com is where you need to go to check it all out. Because once you do, you're going to see watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysucker ginger. And it's not just Rich Pete. Of course, Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. They're both a part of this. You're going to love it. The next game, December 1st, Thanksgiving weekend, against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers, who are having an up-and-down season. They got a little healthier yesterday, but it didn't matter. They still lost to the Seattle Seahawks. 49ers, next week, they're at Green Bay. They take on the Packers while the Bills are off and waiting and seeing and getting healthier, hopefully. And then they'll come to Buffalo on a Sunday night game. The NFC champions. This week, it was the AFC champions and the Super Bowl champions, obviously, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Next week, it's the NFC champions, the San Francisco 49ers. Big stretch run coming up for the Buffalo Bills. Niners at home, at Rams, at Lions, Patriots here in Buffalo, Jets here in Buffalo, at Patriots. Big stretch coming up. It all starts next week. I'm sorry, it all starts in 2 weeks against the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, a bye week next week for the Buffalo Bills. A chance to get healthy, a chance for you to kind of decompress too out there thinking about the Bills and that exciting win yesterday. That is our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Lake Hour premium tequila and vodka hard seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. And if you don't have it at your liquor store, ask them. Say, when are you getting it? When are you getting Lake Hour? Got to have Lake Hour. You're going to love it. I promise you. LakeHour.com. All right. One Bills live today, right? For 3 hours. It's a Monday. It's a victory Monday. Might as well. I'll be back in a couple weeks, I guess. I'll be here for the week, but I won't be on the show. You won't hear me Friday or Monday, but I'll be back leading up to Thanksgiving and the next time that we'll talk before the Buffalo Bills play against the San Francisco 49ers. Have a great day today. One Bills live up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and Gone South Season 4 will be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.